Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Here we are with another Blunt Business here on CannabisRadio.com. Thank you for listening to the show, finding it on Apple Podcasts, YouTube Music, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course, CannabisRadio.com and the Cannabis Radio app. My next guest, he runs a payroll and business solutions business, specializing in offering outsourced cannabis HR consulting, payroll compliance services, timekeeping, applicant tracking, and benefit administration solutions. So many other things here, but we're here now with the CEO of Greenleaf Business Solutions. I'm here with Mark Rodriguez. Thanks for being with us, Mark. Appreciate you being with us.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. So when we look at the landscape right now of what's been talked about and what you've been able to talk about in terms of various areas, I was looking at a story that you were featured in an MJ Business Daily last May, 2023 rather. And at that time, you're talking about a high turnover of bud tenders. And I imagine right now in the current economy, there's been a lot of layover, a lot of cutbacks and things right now that are really hitting into, you know, whatever businesses you're dealing with right now and the amount of employees you're dealing with at the moment and the level of services you have to go and provide. Obviously, Greenleaf can provide, you know, a bevy of services for any size of outfit, but what have you seen right now within the companies you're working with? Have they been really feeling the effects of this economic conditions? Have they been really feeling the effects of tightening and having to do some cost cutting?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing, you know, the cannabis industry is traditionally volatile from an employment standpoint. You see states open up, newly legalized states open up. There's a mad rush of licenses, build outs, and then there's a quick retraction. Probably, you know, 24 months, 36 months following that kind of quick explosion of growth. And our client, we see that throughout. You know, I think if you go to Q1 this year, we had 3 pretty large clients just completely go out of business. Wow. And that's pretty normal for the cannabis industry. Unfortunately, that's kind of what you see. And I think the article you're referencing is about unionization. I was talking about bud tender turnover versus traditional retail. You know, traditional retail turnover, and believe it or not, cannabis retail turnover is 40%. Right, and that seems high, but remember, these are entry level positions in the cannabis industry. Retail is traditionally an entry level role inside any industry, but believe it or not, it's 20% less than the turnover rate for traditional retail businesses, which is about 60%. So the cannabis industry does a really good job of taking care of their bud tenders. I think they see it as the way that they're getting their brand into the market, whether that's dispensary, whether it's a vertically integrated organization, they know that the bud tender is the front line, and they seem to be taking care of the bud tenders. And the turnover rate shows that. But it doesn't stop our clients or any businesses in the cannabis industry from experiencing that volatility, for sure.
I want to expand on that portion of unionization, because just over the summer, we've had issues where Missouri voters are starting to go and vote to unionize in the industry. Maryland also having a point where they wanted to have the dispensary incumbent of Maryland also vote to unionize with a local union there. And now there's a November ballot coming up in Oregon where cannabis workers want to also unionize. And, you know, there's also been talk about where there are labor law developments clearing the path for growing unionization in cannabis. So there's this part is coming in, which is going to just throw a bit of a wrench. It's a lot of things where, you know, companies now that they're still trying to get and grow, and these are not like established 50-100 year companies where, you know, you'll see unionization in other industries, but this industry is still pretty relatively new in that sense. But I mean, is it discouraging at all to see that there's so much going on right now because of various changes in policy, and where some employees right now, they just feel like, well, they're supposed to make so much more. They think that the unions are going to go ahead and make that change for them.
Yeah, it's you know, this contributes, I believe this contributes to the volatility inside the cannabis industry largely. When you have like you said, you have a small, unestablished cannabis business that's facing a threat of unionization a year or two in to their journey, that's not a motivation for the business owner to continue to invest inside the business. And believe it or not, most cannabis businesses, most businesses in general, are small businesses, businesses under 50 employees. So, you know, you don't create a lot of incentives when now that business owner needs to give the employees significant raises every quarter and offer certain benefits and do certain things. And if they ever want to make an organizational change, they have to run that through the union. You know, so I'm generally agnostic when it comes to unionization. But that creates a little bit of a problem, and that's a problem that most other industries that do face unionization don't necessarily deal with. So that's unique to the cannabis industry and does contribute to some volatility.
But it's premature. We don't even have MSOs that have reached, you know, more than half a state.
We're going back to 1866, right? The National Labor Union was founded in Baltimore, Maryland, 1866. So basically, the late 1800s, when unionization occurred, it was to protect the worker, right? It was to protect the worker, make sure the worker had rights, make sure the worker had fair pay, make sure, you know, that introduced child labor laws and all these different things that were fantastic, right? All the things that we as a society can agree, like, yeah, that's an important thing. We should have that. You fast forward to today, much of our federal and state labor laws are, I would say, extremely employee biased, right? That our labor laws, our federal and state labor laws, really, if you boil it down, it says that the employer is guilty until they can prove themselves to be innocent. Meaning, the employer needs to have all the documentation in place to disprove any claim made by an employee, right? So someone comes in, I hire someone as a cannabis company, and that employee says that I wasn't getting my breaks, I wasn't getting my lunch, I didn't get paid for my overtime. But if that employer doesn't have the timesheets to show that, hey, that employee got their breaks, that employee was paid correctly, they were paid overtime. If I don't have that documentation as an employer, I lose. Yeah. I lose every single time, right? And that's for every business, not just cannabis businesses. Now you take that and you say, and you look at how labor unions play into all this. What exactly are labor unions advocating for within cannabis businesses? Well, we've seen safe working conditions. We've definitely seen some injuries and I believe at least one death in a cannabis organization, which when you look at the scope of the organization, you know, obviously we're talking about loss of life, and that's very serious.
Right.
But when you look at the statistics overall, it's a relatively safe, right? Cannabis companies have lower turnover rates than most traditional businesses. They run safer companies than most traditional businesses. And that is because that when they go to get their license, they have to produce so many more things than any other business has to do. They have to come and say, hey, we're going to provide our employees these benefits. That's part of the licensing process for many mm-hmm. states, right? We're going to, you know, here's our safety plan. Here's our fire plan. Here's all of our plans for how our business is going to run. And they have to do it all ahead of time, where traditional businesses don't necessarily need to do that, right? They don't need to go through all those hoops. So by default, cannabis companies are running cleaner, more organized practices because they have to put those things in place right away. You know, then you say, okay, well, what's the labor union's job inside of the cannabis industry? And really coming back to my point earlier is they're really advocating for higher pay, right? Retirement plans now are mandated by many states. So there's already a state-sponsored retirement plan that's in place for most of these companies that have to abide by it. And we see almost every single client that's required to put a 401k plan in place or use a state-sponsored plan, we see them participating and following the law, right? So We know retirement's there. We know that turnover is down, which speaks to the employee experience, infrastructure of the company. So you kind of scratch your head and go, okay, well, what's the labor union advocating for? And that's a question I think is a legitimate one, not to harshly criticize the labor unions, but what are they going to do? And I think if you look at it from a pro union standpoint, we should all be saying, yeah, like, what are they going to do to ensure that if they are unionizing these companies, potentially stunting their growth, what are they doing to reinvest into the industry, whether it be through advocating for certain, testing standards, or what are they doing, right? What are they doing besides just unionizing companies and creating a little bit of chaos along the way? And I don't mean that to sound negative about labor unions, but I think that it's a fair statement and fair question.
I would understand unionization when you have a fully fleshed out, developed company and legalization's in play. So there's, access to go and have that company be available in all 50 states. I can understand that. Or even be more regional where, they reach, even like a dozen states. I'm here with Mark Rodriguez, co-founder and CEO of Greenleaf Business Solutions. Website is greenleafbizsolutions.com. Take a look at the website when we go to break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm here with Mark Rodriguez, co-founder and CEO of Greenleaf Business Solutions. This part where some of these MSOs, they're still trying to go and raise seed money. They're still trying to go ahead and build their business out. I don't know where the employees don't. I mean, would you say it would be the corporations, these MSOs, that are just, they might be paying under what the threshold would be to keep these employees at bay, or is it that the unions are putting so much pressure right now because they're just looking for new union members to pay dues?
I think there could be a combination of both. From the data that I see, I don't believe the MSOs are underpaying their retail staff. I don't see right. that. There are some organizations that pay their retail staff really, really well. And I've seen, going back multiple years, I was seeing dispensaries in the LA area that were bartenders were making $1,000 a week. This was, before inflation. So you think about that, that's a retail employee making close to $50,000 a week or more. That's a good income for a retail level employee, obviously. So, but yes, I agree with you. I think that there's a little bit of that when it comes to unionization, that they have a goal to unionize cannabis companies.
Yeah.
The regulations made by the states are, unionization is written in with a lot of LPA, labor peace agreement language, specifically states like California. Where, companies of a certain smaller employee count, I believe it's 25, need to enter into an LPA once they get their license. So there's things like that factor in. And then you have the games that get played, right? You have the cannabis companies then creating separate companies and trying to create ways to legally circumvent the union. And that's a whole other cost and time expense in and of itself that can often lead to the volatility that we talked about earlier. So,
right.
I think unionization is definitely premature in the cannabis industry. I think that probably goes without saying. And, we see it play out.
I can remember going back, I think as far as 2019, where I saw some inroads where New Jersey had a local, had a union there looking to go and unionize cannabis workers as early as that point. It was well before pandemic. But now there was a case that happened in August of last year from the National Labor Relations Board that they overturned a case, a 50-year-old law creating a new standard for processing a union's demand for recognition, and that there would be several paths in which a union might bypass the election altogether, that they would have a union request, an employee recognize it as the employee's bargaining representative. Union's request can be made verbally or in writing to any agent of the employer, including low-level supervisors. And once the request is received, it can either recognize and bargain or promptly file a petition with the NLRB seeking an election. So what happened also is that the governing body for the unions from the government end opened the door for more unionization than ever. And that's the other part that has to be considered, because we see this now. I don't know if enough employees probably are well read or understand what they're getting themselves into by doing this, because you know, I still think that if you're in for the ride with a company or MSO and they're in the industry right now trying to grow their business, you're coming along for the growth. And if you're not, it could be looked at as, well, you're going to stunt the growth of what this company is going to be. Or, you know, here's the other question. Has unionization affected any companies that you've seen where they have no longer been able to cease to exist?
Yeah, absolutely. Two of the three companies that I mentioned earlier that went out of business in Q1 of this year were unionized. And here's the thing, like, I think in a lot of cases, you can see the value of unions, like labor unions, they can be valuable. There's plenty of evidence, even if you're anti-union, there's plenty of evidence to say, like, oh, the labor union is probably beneficial for in certain circumstances. To your point, the cannabis industry, though, being such a baby, it's an infancy stage. And we're talking about investment coming in from people like you and me coming in, trying to start a dispensary or a vertically integrated cannabis company with already, you know, millions of dollars on the line. And now I have to face the threat of unionization of my startup business. Yeah, that's a problem. I think if I could shift the focus.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Though I think that, you know, there is, you know, you look at the, you know, the UAW or some of these other larger labor unions, you're saying they're protecting the worker from an extremely powerful corporate interest, right? I don't necessarily think you're facing that in the cannabis industry. I think times are changing. I think, you know, one of the things that I raised in that MJ Biz article was what are these labor unions doing for the workers of the cannabis companies? What are they doing, right? And so you kind of can dig into that a little bit and start to ask some questions and say, well, they're not providing cannabis-specific job training like you would expect in other industries, how they provide, you know, specific skill set position training for that particular industry. There's not really any of that. So a lot of the things that I've seen around some employee-level benefits and pay increases over time. Right. But I think that those things are pretty standard and baked in, especially for cannabis companies. There's a war on talent with cannabis companies, and cannabis companies are trying to desperately bring people into their organization that understand the industry, that are proficient at operating within it, an industry that's traditionally underserved. And there's a war on talent for those people, which drives wages up, right? That typically will drive wages up. If you're a solid player, you're going to be highly sought after. You're going to be able to earn more money. And, you know, you have these two competing interests, you know, going after one another. But I think that, you know, I come back to that. What are these labor unions doing for the cannabis industry? And I find it difficult to answer that question. Yeah. With anything more than I just mentioned before, right there.
So now one of the areas, obviously, that Greenleaf Business Solutions also works on is when it comes to staffing is also looking for trying to attract and retain top talent right now for businesses. There's a lot of jobs to fill. I mean, you know, believe it or not, right now, the most recent jobs report I'm looking at for cannabis, there are over 440,000 full-time equivalent jobs supported by legal cannabis in the U.S., increase from year to year 5.4%. So, you know, there's still more jobs being made available. And, you know, when you're looking at where jobs might be being replaced and what there is in the current economy today, you know, there's a lot more part-time jobs in some cases than there might be full-time jobs. But in cannabis, there are more full-time jobs, more markets opening up, obviously, for that. So tell me about the, you know, where that increase has really come from. Has it really just been where new markets have opened up and more dispensaries, more operations are in play? And is that where the growth is really coming from? Or are some of these companies just growing so well internally that they do need the more the power and more of the staffing as possible?
You know, it's interesting because I see a little bit of everything. I see the companies that have been well-positioned and focused on profit. Those companies are growing slowly. They're growing methodically. And they're building their infrastructure from the inside out really well, right? They're hiring the administrative staff to support their employees. They're launching new products and going to new markets. But then you have some that, you know, depending on their financial situation, if they raise money, they burned through a lot of capital, hired a lot of people, expanded very quickly because that was their directive, and then they pull back and restrict, and they have to lay a bunch of people off. So it varies greatly. If that answers your question.
Yeah, because I understand it would not be a straight answer for it because what you're looking at, but you know, it's good to go ahead and put that out. The optics look great. Oh, there's more jobs. Wonderful. We can at least say that. And that's something that can be said good about the industry. If it would only, you know, translate or resonate more with stockholders and shareholders to go ahead and invest more money into the economy or invest into these various cannabis companies. We're not seeing enough of that yet. And I think it's just where, you know, the people that have that kind of money to go and be shareholders, they don't want to sit around and wait. They're going to wait until legalization comes into play, whenever that might be. But that's what I think they're going to be looking for more than anything else.
Yeah, you see a lot of the folks sitting on the sidelines right now. There's a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines just in general right now. And I think that there's a lot of that money's coming into the smart investments, right? The companies that have been well-positioned. But I think they're also looking for strategic partners as well. If they're going to find investors at this point in the game for well-established cannabis companies, they're doing it with strategy in mind, right? With legalization coming, with that play in mind. So they're looking for partners that are going to help them better position their business long term. And I think that for everyone else, for the smart money that's on the sidelines, they've seen what's gone on with emerging markets. They've seen that it's very difficult to make money in cannabis. To my point earlier, you have to have really solid operators. You look at Jason Vidotti with Story Cannabis and his situation with Harvest. I think that's really impressive.
Yeah.
But you can see what's going on. You can see there's a select few of people, and organizations that have figured it out. And, everyone else is kind of just scratching, right? And that same MJ Biz article, or maybe a different one, is reported that 75% of cannabis companies are losing money every single year. They're losing money. That means 25% are profitable. And that's probably, you know, a fraction of those have significant profits. And then you can see the reporting from earlier this last month on a few of the publicly held companies on their Q2 numbers. But not a lot of companies are doing that well.
Time to take our final break, but we're going to come back with Mark Rodriguez, co-founder and CEO of Green Leaf Business Solutions, here on Blunt Business. Back after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
I'm back with final questions with Mark Rodriguez, co-founder and CEO of Green Leaf Business Solutions. Website is greenleafbizsolutions.com. So while we're talking about more jobs, talking about more opportunities and for more growth in the cannabis industry, let's go and just make this point on the program. We are coming up on election time. We're less than 90 days away from the presidential election and also just general elections, which will include amendments in various states, including where I'm at in Florida, where adult use cannabis will be a measure to be put on the ballot. The amendment needs to get more than super majority for it to pass, but I expect it to pass. South Dakota voters are going to have the initiative to also legalize adult use. Nebraska is looking at two medical cannabis initiatives on the ballot this year. And North Dakota, efforts are looking to be done to secure a spot for adult use cannabis initiative on the ballot, with advocates actively gathering support. So we could have four new states, two in the Midwest where we could see possibility of medical use. But again, South Dakota and Florida looking at adult use. That's great news. When you look at those areas, are those two target areas that you're looking at right now that there might be companies that you'll see there from the woodwork that are going to want to go look for increasing their staffing, their demand because of the fact that they're going to be adult use coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that anytime you have adult use coming up, you kind of have the floodgates open a bit. I think a lot of though that when you look at Florida specifically, a lot of money was poured into Florida over the last 3 years. Tons and tons of money was poured into Florida the last 3 years. You look at what's going on with Delta 9, Delta 8, and all these different all these different workarounds to the farm bill, and you realize that a lot of these companies were circumventing, these hemp companies were circumventing cannabis regulations. So it's like when you look at the economy and the cannabis economy in those particular states, is legalization already baked in, right? When you factor in hemp. And I don't necessarily think that a lot of people that are just, generally interested in cannabis understand all those dynamics. But part of me thinks that, some of that stuff's already baked in to legalization in Florida happening, adult use legalization already happening in Florida. And do we see a spike? For sure. We'll see a spike, right? You're going to see an uptick there. You're going to see more investment come. But how much? I think that's kind of like the million-dollar question.
Well, with Florida, it's been very corporatized. A lot of MSOs have put their money into the ballot initiative. When it comes to starting to say Florida, the campaign is still going to go ahead and push this across the finish line. And also, when you just see the amount of dispensaries that are out there, they're not a lot of small mom and pops. They're all major big box dispensaries out there. They are a lot of chains out there. And, for this state, I think it works really well for what they've done. I think, if they were able to go ahead and put the money out there and kind of surpass other things that might go on in other states, sure, there might be a few things that might have been left by the wayside, social equity or, craft cannabis to some extent. I can understand that. But, if the MSOs had the money, they put it in and they wanted to have Florida be a certain way. So I can understand that part. The other thing I want to ask about is, we still are waiting to find out word about what happens with rescheduling. Now, we know as of this recording, the review process for the DEA to reschedule cannabis is still in progress. Department of Justice did initiate a formal rulemaking process in May of this year from recommendations from the HHS that cannabis be rescheduled. So we're still waiting. I know we've heard word that it's being delayed and there's other things going to happen. But once that does come to pass and the DEA does reschedule, the tax benefits will come in where 280E is no longer applied to cannabis companies. There's 10 to 12% of revenue coming back. What do you see to those companies right now that once rescheduling comes into play and it's finalized, that now we're going to go and see, will there be more of a reinvestment into the companies themselves? And what do you see them doing in terms of what you would recommend from the HR staffing standpoint that Greenleaf Business Solutions provides?
It's a good question. So I think, rescheduling will bring probably a pretty significant consolidation of the market, right? You're going to see some of the larger MSOs or some of the more well-positioned companies scoop up some more distressed assets. I think that's for sure what we're going to see. We've already started to see a little bit of that, but I think that will continue. I think you'll see some emerging players come and step up and take over certain markets, very specific markets. You're seeing that with some players today. They're just owning certain parts of states, right? They're coming in and they're investing all their money in a particular state and they're figuring out the market and they're developing marketing strategies or developing, their business model to suit that market in particular. And there's plenty of examples of that. So you think you're seeing more specialized focus on geography. And then M&As after that, and we've seen that. For those companies, though, where What we see is interesting, right? So most every cannabis company has that's of significant size. So let's say, you know, 50 plus, 100 plus employee groups, right? Mm-hmm. They have technology when it comes to employee focused, right? They have onboarding technology, they have benefits, they have 401k a lot of times, or they're using the state sponsor program. They're doing everything right, right? I think where we've seen our services become really beneficial for companies is through those M&As. When they're acquiring, we had a client earlier this year that was turning basically four or five separate businesses into one. All four or five of those companies were using different payroll technologies, different HRIS technologies, and kind of other ancillary services that supported those companies. Employee lifecycle, right? Call them like applicant tracking systems and electronic onboarding platforms or the like, right? So what we were tasked with doing was taking all that data, taking all those systems, all those processes, and condensing into one platform, right? Developing new SOPs, training management staff, training down to the employee level, so that when they did make that transition onto the new entity, the new company, that it was a relatively seamless transition. And that we're seeing that more and more today. And we're seeing companies decouple, right? So companies that are going from one platform and parts of the company are being sold off to other organizations, right? And so we consult on that, and we develop a process and SOPs for doing it with the most or least impact to the employee.
So, good, wrap things up. Green Leaf Business Solutions, the website is greenleafbizsolutions.com. And for those who want to go and learn more, the website, you'll learn more about the fact that you have so many experts on your team that have more than 10 years of prior experience in providing cannabis HR consulting services and payroll management. You have a client retention rate of 99%. I won't say any more about that. I'll leave it up to you, Mark. Tell me more about Greenleaf and what you provide in terms of services for those that want to go and learn more.
Yeah, so your payroll, your HR, timekeeping, your scheduling, applicant tracking, benefit administration, whatever you need to manage your employee lifecycle, we have companies that come to us and say, hey, we can't afford to keep our payroll and HR staff in place anymore. We need to make a drastic change, and we need to outsource these components. Our clients are able to outsource their entire payroll or their entire HR department to Greenleaf. Whether you need help with insurance, 401k, we do it all. And we do it all in a single employee record platform that allow our clients to streamline operations entirely, eliminate unnecessary vendors to that process, save time and save money. And exactly right. You can find us at greenleafbizsolutions.com.
Fantastic. Again, Greenleaf Business Solutions. I'm with the CEO, Mark Rodriguez. Thank you for joining us here on the program. I really do appreciate you taking time out.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And thank you, listeners, for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it.
Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9-3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.